All right. And the recording has started, the operator said. Well, first of all, yesterday, Sunday, what a tremendous day that we had, Sunday morning and Sunday night. We had a message here that we heard yesterday morning. First of all, let's start with the lesson that we heard from Brother Roseberry, who taught the lesson. And at the end of the lesson, he said several things that really touched where we are at as a church. And and please excuse Brother Vic as I'm talking right now. I'm out here on the street and someone's acting a little strange out here, and I'm going to have to move. As you know, a lot of these calls that I do now, I do mobile, and sometimes we run into issues on the street, and maybe it's just the enemy trying to cause a distraction tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and move a little bit here, so please excuse all the rigmarole going on here as Brother Vic is working on this. But as we're doing that, let me go ahead and talk to you about what Brother Roseberry, as he finished up, I came to him afterward, and I said, Brother Roseberry, I want to tell you something. I said, as you were speaking, I realized something. As you're delivering the lesson and the message that you gave, there was something that was very endearing in your delivery, and it dawned on me, it was the spirit that he was doing it with, but it was also the love of God. The love of God that you could feel being delivered with the words and with the message that he was conveying yesterday morning. And I told him, you know what? That, I believe, is the main ingredient that really gets the attention of the people, and they begin to focus more and more on what you're saying. And, of course, Brother Roseberry said, Brother Vic, I appreciate that. And, yes, I believe that. I believe God is teaching us how to really love the people and to give a message that's interlaced with the love of God, and that is the thing that causes people to really focus. Hey, I want to hear this. I want to receive this that a Brother Roseberry, whoever it is that's giving that message over the pulpit, I want to really focus and get in tune with what that message that's being delivered by a Brother Roseberry, a Pastor Clark, a Brother Rao, whoever it may be. And I really, really felt that yesterday to tell him that. I wasn't just saying that to be nice or to try to make him feel good about what he delivered yesterday, but I really genuinely felt the love of God as he was doing that. And then the other piece that I told him was, it feels more and more like a family. In other words, here's a Brother Roseberry, someone who we look up to, we respect, and the family is listening to this and receiving this as a family. We know that here he is giving us something good, a nourishing meal, a medication, a healing salve, whatever it may be. And we as a family are here receiving this, knowing that this is a family member of ours that is giving us something good. And I told him that. I said, it's feeling more and more like a family. And, of course, he coincided with that. And he said, Brother Vic, you're right. It feels like as the church in recent times, we are uniting. We are coming together more and more. And here we are, a family, receiving something as a family, delivering something as a family. And, of course, who is not going to want to receive something from a family member that we know loves us and we love in return? So, church, this is what I want to say to everybody. We are feeling ourselves get tighter knit together. There is a bonding, there is a unity that is developing in us individually as individuals and as a group and as a family. I hope you're feeling that. I hope you're feeling that. And I didn't pray before the message tonight, and we're going to pray at the end tonight, but I'm feeling the anointing just saying this because this is the truth. And this is what God wants for our church, for us to begin to be even more tightly knit together. Boy, my mind is going in different directions, and I'm thinking right now of a young David with Jonathan, who was the son of King Saul, and the Bible says that they were friends, but they were more than friends. They became as brothers, and the Bible says that their souls were knit together. Their souls were knit together. Knit, K-N-I-T, you know, kind of like someone, a seamstress that they're knitting, they're sewing things together, they're tying things together. Things are becoming threaded together. Boy, I didn't even plan on going down this route tonight, but as I said, that we need to be closely knit together. The word knit brought my mind back to that passage in the Old Testament about a young David and a Jonathan whose soul were knit together. Well, everyone, our souls need Yaravashatai. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying it. Our souls need to be knit together by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God, but with the unity, that is the glue that binds us together. And what is the result that takes place, that comes as a result of being knit together? Well, here it is, everybody. It's called revival. It's revival. When we can come together, put aside our differences. Hey, we're different people from different families, sometimes from different cultures, a different background. But when we can have unity, we can come together and put aside our differences, whether they're cultural, whether they're personal and different things. Well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, that's my brother, that's my sister. But you know, we don't see eye to eye. Have you heard that saying? We don't see eye to eye. Well, everybody, when we learn to put our differences together, we are going to see eye to eye. We're going to be able to see the same thing. We're going to have the same vision, the same clarity of sight and a focus and a vision. And that's when we're going to see more of this spirit of revival, because we are going through revival. We are experiencing revival, everybody. But we're going to experience more of that revival that the Lord wants us to have as we continue to put aside the walls of differences. Precisely, when you have a house full of walls, what does that do? It creates partitions, you know, different bedrooms, a kitchen, a living room. But when you remove those walls, there we see each other. We are together in unity. Okay, everybody, I didn't mean to spend so much time on that, but that's the first thing I wanted to say yesterday. And of course, yesterday, I think our Pastor Clark set a record. I think he delivered a message in 7 minutes, as you all know. But in that 7 minute or so message, he talked about several things. He wanted to just simply share with the church how grateful, how thankful that he was with the church, that he's thankful for the church that he's been pastoring here in Ontario for more than 20 years. But he wanted to show appreciation to the church. He wanted to show a thankfulness and an appreciation to the church and everybody as a pastor. And he commented on how good this church has been. The church and the members have been such good people. And so he's thankful for that. He's grateful for that. And he wanted to make sure that we all felt that thankfulness and that gratefulness. And then he also mentioned the love of God. He talked about the love of God. It's flowing in our church. And you know, we don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about the love of God, but you know what? We're feeling it. That is what is being exemplified in our church and through our members and through our pastor. We're feeling the love of God. Think about that. El amor de Dios. And when you think about the love of God, you know, it's easy for us to talk about it, but boy, it's not an easy thing to understand. It is truly and genuinely a very unique concept, the love of God. You might say, well, Brother Vic, what do you mean? We're talking about the love of God. Well, everyone, we know that the love of God is far different than our love, human love. We've talked about this before, about the love of God in the New Testament. There's a Greek word that describes it. It's called the agape love. It's a Greek word. And what does it mean? It means love. Oh, but it means it on a whole different scale with so much profoundness to it. The love of God. It is an unconditional love of God. That means God loves us not based on our merits, not based on how good we are, but even while we were in our sins, he loved us. That's how great that love of God is. It's a whole unique different concept as opposed to the philios love that we have. Philios meaning the brotherly love, or you know, if you do me good, I will love you in return. If you treat me right, I'm going to treat you right in return. I'm going to love you in return. And of course, there's the eros love, and that's a whole different thing, you know, a romantic love between husband and wife or that type of a situation. But we're talking about the agape love, the unconditional love of God. It's a whole different realm. It's a whole different type of a love without condition. And that's what we're talking about right now, that love of God. So everybody, I hope that you're getting a picture and a mind of what we're talking about. So with that said, and hold, if you could just hold on for one moment, everybody, hold on just for one second. Everybody, I'm sorry for that break there. As I mentioned to you, there was something going on the street, and I'm going to just say the enemy doesn't want us to have liberty in what we are doing. So I just had to deal with something here just a minute ago, so I apologize for that. And we are back live. We are back on track, everybody. All right, where did I leave off? We're talking about the love of God, precisely. The love of God, the agape, unconditional love of God. And if someone can please send another text to Brother Vic, I want to make sure that I didn't break communication and you can all still hear me. Praise God. Gracias, Señor Jesús. Gracias, Señor Jesús. Praise God. All right, Brother Miguel, thank you so much. Yes, and I won't go into it too much, everybody, but just in the last week or so, I've had several folks at church and with the evangelism talking about how that the enemy is coming against us and just throwing little darts and bigger darts and trying to cause obstacles in what we're doing. And I think that's what just took place here in the last few minutes. The enemy does not want us to get some of these messages across. But we're going to continue to move forward. Let's continue to go where we're going with this. We're talking about the love of God. Brother Roseberry exemplified that in his message yesterday, but Pastor Clark talked about that at the end of his message of thankfulness and gratefulness to the church. And again, the love of God that we're feeling, and that breeds the unity that and the bonding that is being developed. And of course, we feel that in the fellowship that we are having on Sunday nights. It's doing something. It's not just a time to have food together, but there's a time for there to be bonding and unity. And that's exactly what we're feeling, everybody. And that brings me to Brother Deathridge's message. Brother Deathridge preached a message here about a week ago. And I want to go ahead and read that scripture. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. Let's go there real quick. We can quote it by memory, I'm sure. But we're going to go ahead and just read it so everybody gets a good dosage of this once again. At the end of Acts chapter 2, of course, everyone knows verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off. But I want to focus on verse number 42. First, we're going to read verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, talking about the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Think about that. After Peter preached that message on the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. You talk about a message of evangelism, a message of revival. Yes, what a powerful thing. But let's read what verse number 42 says. That's the focus of what we want to talk about here. And they continued steadfastly. Boy, here we go. And they continued steadfastly. Everybody say steadfastly. That's what I want to focus on. What does steadfastly mean? I think we all know what it means. Steadfast, something that's continuous. It's stable. It's stabilized. It's not going up and down. It's just consistent. Consistent. Faithfully. It's going. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what our pastor's doing. He's been preaching the apostles' doctrine continuously, steadfastly. Our pastor is not breaking form, everybody. He's not going to water down the message of the doctrine of salvation for any reason at all. He's not going to compromise that message. We all know about that. He is preaching that message of the apostles' doctrine steadfastly. And fellowship, and that's what we're having, everybody. Brother Raul is a big supporter. He's going to continue to push the fellowship. He just talked to me today about that, and next Sunday, we're already planning what we're going to have next Sunday. We're going to continue to have fellowship. And also in the breaking of bread, and that's what we do as part of our fellowship. We're eating together. And again, it's not just there to eat food together. There's something sacred that takes place, very intimate that takes place when we come together and we have fellowship and food together, when we break bread together. And in prayers. Everybody, we just went through four ingredients. And they continued steadfastly, that's continuously, faithfully, seguidamente, regularly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Everybody, are you getting that? These are the four core ingredients that the apostles continue to do, and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying this. And when they did all this balanced, in balance, and that's what our pastor keeps talking about, striking that perfect balance, striking that even balance, and that's what our pastor is trying to do with all of these things. Once we do that, that's when revival is going to break out. And everyone, I think you noticed that that's what we've been feeling in the last several weeks and months. There is a spirit of revival that is slowly creeping into the church, slowly being infiltrating the church. And I'm saying those words surreptitiously, but these are all good things. It's beginning to take root in us. It's beginning to take a hold of us, where it's not just a quick thing where, oh, an evangelist came in and he preached a couple of exciting messages and we had revival, praise God. And then he leaves, and then a couple weeks later it kind of just goes back to normal. You know, normal meaning not quite that spirit of revival. You know, we're just going to kind of coast along for a while, but we're going to wait for the next evangelist to come in 2 or 3 months, and then we're going to get back on a high. No, everybody, this spirit of revival is getting deep into our veins, deep into our core. It's taking root within us. Why? Because we're doing all of these things balanced, steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. You've seen the prayer book in the last several weeks. It's not just two or three names there. Regularly, steadfastly. Now we're seeing 10, 15, 20 plus names. Last week, a couple of days, we had over 50 names in that prayer book. And everybody, pastors talked about it. Yeah, we all know we can pray in our prayer closet, as we should. We all know we can pray in our bedrooms at home, and we should, and we do. But now we're investing a little bit of time and sacrifice, praise God, in what is taking place in our prayer at our church. In our church, as our pastor has asked us to do, and everyone is duyaravashatai. Hallelujah. We're doing it regularly. We're doing it steadfastly, as we ought to be doing it. So I hope you're feeling this, everybody. This is exactly what we've been talking about. This is what we've been investing in. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to just let you know right now. I want to open up these lines, and I know we did it a few Mondays ago, and I'd like to do it tonight. So if anybody has a testimony, if anyone has a word of faith that you want to share with the group, get ready. We're going to go ahead and open up the lines. If you want to just text a message in, praise God, then you can text the message in as we are speaking. Matter of fact, let me see if there's some messages that are coming in. And yes, there are several messages that have already begun to come in here in the last Yarabashatai. Okay, I'm going to share some of these messages here in just a little bit. But let's continue. Let's continue to finish up here. I'm almost done. And Brother R. Durama just told me that Gustavo is joining the call. Gustavo is the young man, the visitor that I've been talking for the last couple of months. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But he is going to be on the call as well tonight. All right, well, let's talk a little bit. I'm going to shift gears for the next few minutes and talk about Saturday. What took place on Saturday, everybody? Excuse all the little noises that are taking place here as I'm lowering some windows. It's getting a little bit stuffy. Praise God. All right. I've got some folks saying that they do want to share some things. All right. We're going to be hearing from some of our people tonight. And I want this, everybody. This is not just Brother Vic talking, everybody. We don't want to just hear Brother Vic talking. I want to hear the voices of faith, the voices of testimony from the several of you that have been praying, that the Lord has been dealing with you, and you've been coming to evangelism, or you've been coming to prayer, and there's some great things that have been taking place. But let me just take a few moments to talk about what's been taking place on Saturday. Just this last Saturday, everybody, I counted over 30 people that came this last Saturday, even though we started a little bit early at 10:30 a.m. I think we're going to go back to 11 a.m., but this Saturday we started at 10:30 a.m., and we had several great things take place. We prayed together, we shared some testimonies together, and we got into evangelism. And you can feel, someone said it, you can feel the anointing coming down. And even as we finished our 30 minutes of testifying and preaching and talking about the great things the Lord is doing, I think it was this last Saturday or the previous last Saturday, as we stood there and Brother Prime dismissed us in prayer, everyone just stood there, locked in place. It was almost funny. It was almost comedic to see everyone just standing there. No one wanted to leave. Everybody, you, those of you that are on the call and that you were there on that Saturday morning, after we finished prayer, okay, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow at church. Nobody left. Everyone just stayed there standing, staring at each other, eyeball to eyeball. It is as if we couldn't leave. It's as if the Holy Ghost just had us standing there for some reason. And finally, someone just spoke up. I said, does anyone have a testimony? Does anyone have something to say? And sure enough, the testimony started pouring out. And you could feel the faith. You could feel the anointing. You could feel the joy. People just wanted to share some things that the Lord was doing. And we ended up staying there another 15, 20 minutes later. At about that time, a lady pulls up. And she begins to tell about a need that she had in her family, a sister or a family member. And we ended up praying for her. And the ladies ended up getting her phone number. And we're going to have our ladies reaching out to her as well. Sister Jessica, if she's on the call, we're gathering names of people at evangelism. And we're going to be reaching out to them in a concerted and organized manner. Sister Jessica is really helping out in that area. All right. So, that's what's been taking place on our Saturday morning evangelism meetings, everybody. And this last Saturday, a similar thing happened, but this time something else happened at the beginning of evangelism. Sister Lupe started talking about how that this net report that Sister Jessica puts together, a net report she does once a month, I believe, talking about the testimonies and the things that are happening in evangelism, not just on Saturday mornings, but throughout the week with our people. And so Sister Lupe thanks Sister Jessica for putting out that Evangelism Net report. And then she said something else. She says she sent a copy of this Net Evangelism report to her son Joseph in prison, and it turns out that Joseph got excited about this report, and he started passing it around to other inmates in prison. And now he's wanting more, and he was so he can pass out more of them in prison. And he was thankful to us for everything that's taking place, and even thanked Sapphire. He doesn't know Sapphire, but he wanted to thank a young person, Sapphire, who gave her testimony on that report. Listen how far-reaching your testimony can go, young people and older people. Your testimony on that report, that's published on that report, goes out to prisons now. It's going out to prisons, and Joseph is now passing the word of testimony to his inmates. All right, so Sister Lupe gave us that testimony. Then Sister Julie stands up and says, hey, I have another testimony. It turns out that someone, I think a family member of hers, a cousin or a brother-in-law, also just got out of prison. And she gave a word about what's happening there in that situation. Afterward, I realized something. I said, you know what? What we're doing here on our evangelism testimonies is now affecting people that are in prison. We are now talking about creating a news report, an evangelism report, that a Sister Lupe and others can give to prisoners or inmates in prison. And all of a sudden now, is it possible that a prison ministry can be born out of what we are doing? Everybody, I don't know where this is going to go, but let's have faith, and let's allow the spirit of revival and evangelism to begin to flow through us. Those of us who have connections, as someone that we know that's in prison, let's begin to send this report out to those people that are in prison, and let's see where the Lord takes it. Let's not try to plan it too much. Let's just continue to move in faith and let the spirit of evangelism and revival begin to flow. All right, everybody. Well, I'm not going to take much longer, but because I want to hear some of our people who want to share a testimony, give a word here. But Brother Durama just texted me right now saying that Gustavo is on the call. And Gustavo, if you're on the call tonight, thank you for coming to church. He lives all the way up in Hesperia, everybody. And I asked him this week, I want you to come to church Sunday night. And he did. He made the effort. And there he was at pre-service prayer praying with myself and Brother Art and several others, and he felt the anointing. He began to cry, and he told me about it later. He said, Brother Victor, I don't like to cry in front of people, but I just felt it, and I just began to cry there at the pre-service prayer. And this is a good lesson for all of us. Hey, it's not that you're a man, you're a macho, and you can't cry in front of everybody. We need to be broken and weep before the Lord, in no matter if people are watching. And he did that, and the Lord blessed him for it. And today I texted him. I said, thank you for coming last night, Gustavo. And he responded by text saying, I'll be back. You know, when we hear that, we can think of maybe an old adage from an old movie clip from years ago, I'll be back. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what, everybody? Now we're going to take that saying and we're going to take it in a very spiritual manner, and we're going to believe by faith that Gustavo is going to be back and the Lord is going to do something, continue to do something great in him. So once again, we are thankful for what's taking place in that situation. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here on this call tonight. I'm going to go ahead and begin to open up the calls because there are several people who want to say something. Praise God. Let's go ahead and open up Julie's line because she wants to share something. Usually she's a little bit on the quiet side. Let me see if I can find her on the call. Sister Julie, all right. Sister Lupe Sanchez just texted something. Brother Vic, revival is not just on the corner of 4th and Grove. Thank you, Sister Lupe. Revival is not simply on the corner of 4th and Grove as we're having a street evangelism out there. And she's so right. We need to carry that spirit of evangelism throughout the week and take it into the prisons and everywhere else where our families and loved ones are at. Thank you for that, Sister Lupe. Sister Julie, if you can text me right now and let me know which one is your phone number. Let's see if I could find Sister Lupe. She is one of these threads here, and I'm going to find her in just a minute. All right. Thank you for that message. All right. And I am going to go ahead and plug in Sister Julie here in just a minute. If I can find her, 23273, that's her number. Okay, I found her. All right, Sister Julie, are you on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead and share your testimony, Sister.
I'm just going to say something really quick. This Saturday in the street evangelism, my sister Jessica told me, well, let's go over on this side, and went on the far right side. And I just felt the anointing, and I just could not give out a card. Like, I was trying to give a card up, but I just couldn't because it was so strong.
Okay.
And all I could do was pray. And I told my sister, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I can't give out a card. All I can do is just praise and thank God. And she's like, well, we're all doing this together, and God is using you to pray.
Yes.
And so I just started praying over the people that were in the car. And I just remember praying specifically, God, these people, whoever gets the card, if they don't come to church, have someone else see that card and come to church. And so I just felt faith when I said that. And I know I spoke to Brother Art's wife, and he said about Gustavo that he saw a card, and he decided to come to church. And so when I saw him, and I saw the look on his face, and I saw the hunger that he has for God, it just really touched me. And I was just so thankful that he came, and I'm so glad that he came. And, I mean, that's basically it. I just wanted to share that. I don't want to keep talking too much because I can keep going, but I just feel like God is hearing our prayers. God is hearing us, and He's working, and I'm just thankful to that.
Sister Julie, I want to say this. No, and no, it was not too much. What you said was perfect. It was great. Everything that you said was right on. And thank you for bringing up what happened on Saturday. Yes, there was such a powerful anointing, a real, true anointing that was there, that it was moving us. It was leading us and guiding us just as it led you. And I want you to know that even as you spoke what you spoke, it was so – let me put my windows up because we can hear the doggies barking now, okay? So let me say this. Even as you said what you said right now, Sister Julie, we could feel the anointing in your voice. We can feel the desire in your voice. We can feel what you were saying right now. And that, I think, is one of the most important things. People are listening and they're hearing, hey, look at Sister Julie, what she's saying. But look at how she's saying. Look at the spirit that's on her, the anointing that's on her as you're saying this. And this is so important, Sister Julie, because there is a change that is taking place in you even as you're doing this. And I know you've been coming to the church and praying regularly, and the Lord is answering your prayer, and the Lord is beginning to use you. He's changing us. He's taking us from someone who's usually maybe kind of quiet, timid, and shy, just like Brother Vic was when he was younger. He was the shyest person, But now I have to speak. I have to open my mouth and let the Lord do what he wants to do. And that's what he's doing with you right now, Sister Julie and Brother Adrian. A lot of good things going on in their lives. So thank you so much. At the beginning of her testimony, she said something, and this is really good. She said, we feel like going to this side. We said, let's go over to this side. And as soon as she said the words, this side, it reminded me about the book of Joshua, I believe it was, when the Lord told Joshua to go to this side Jordan. We're going to go to this side Jordan. And as soon as they went on the other side of Jordan, the Lord performed a miracle. I believe that's when he parted the rivers of Jordan, the Jordan River, and they were able to walk through on dry land, just as he did with Moses at the Red Sea. A miracle took place. So once again, thank you, Sister Julie. It was perfect what you had to say. Also, we have Brother Miguel who wants to say something as well. He texted in saying that he does want to say something. I'm going to just make sure I have his right phone number, and I do have his phone number here. So let me go ahead and open up Brother Miguel's line. All right, Brother Miguel, where are you at? There you are. Brother Miguel, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Out and clear, Brother Miguel. Go ahead and give your word, give your testimony.
Okay. I apologize for the noise. I'm outside of the church right now. I didn't want to be in the
car.
You
sound good. You are fine.
I actually screenshotted it just so I can show it to you later, brother. But today, as we were walking in the store, and there was a verse that was on a picture. It was the only picture there in Acts chapter 2, which you just spoke about. And I'm going to read it. And then talk about how God is working so amazing and great, and seeing his work. But it's Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And when you were talking and reading that verse, I'm like, wow, God is so good, because this is what I was going to talk about. This is what I was going to use. This part of the same chapter, I was going to use to talk about how God is working with us in unity and what we're doing as a family, you know, all in Christ. And everyone's heart is right in what they're doing. There's no sense of anyone doing it out of spite, and people that are coming, it's God's will for them to be there. And because not every family is there every single week, but the people that are there is who God wants to be there. And with that, God is bringing those people to the corner, to Fourth and Grove, for us to pray for us to reach out to. And people are noticing it, and we're gaining favor with people. They're recognizing us, and we're going to start seeing people show up. I mean, there was people there in the morning that I hadn't seen, and it brought joy. And then to see Gustavo in the evening, and God is honoring everything that we're doing. It's just exciting, because I wasn't always fully committed to God and just, you know, sold out on God. And now that I'm doing it, and I've been doing it, and God is honoring it for the church, not for me, but for the church and all his glory, you know, it's just amazing to see. And it's motivating, and it's exciting, and it's something that I'm just grateful to be a part of. So I just wanted to share that. And I know my wife, she's
Miguel, are you there, sir?
Part of our church family, and to be doing God's work to add more souls that are looking and feeling hopeless, for us to be that light. And that's the biggest thing, is like you said, all knit and one. The more of us that are knit together, the brighter we're going to shine. And the everyone doing it happily with gladness and singleness of heart, we're going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And nothing's going to stop us unless we stop ourselves. With that, I just want to say, you know, I'm excited, I'm glad, and in Jesus' name, you know, let's keep going. That's it, brother.
Brother Miguel, thank you for that. And once again, I just talked to Miguel and Jessica last night, and just as I told Julie, again, Miguel and Jessica, they have made the decision, the commitment to plug in. They want to be submitted, they want to be a part of the church, and they want to do anything they can do to help in anything that we're doing, from evangelism to cleanup to whatever it might be, and you can see the Lord beginning to use them. And namely, I want to say this, the desire. You can see the desire and the burden that Miguel and Jessica just, so I told someone the other day, we were about to start our street Saturday morning evangelism service here about a week ago or so. And just as we're about to start, we have most of the people there. I see a little gray SUV come in. I think it's what the color is. And there's Miguel and Jessica. And mind you, they come all the way from Beaumont. All the way from Beaumont. So it's about a good 45-minute drive. But they have made the decision they want to come on Saturday mornings. And he said, he alluded to it earlier, where something that not mechanical, not something we're forced to do, they want to do this. And that makes the biggest difference. When you want to do this, when God placed the burden, the desire, the love in you to do this, that is the game changer. That makes everything different. And that's where the anointing can begin to take root and flow through us, like Sister Julie was talking about. I hope you're feeling this, everybody. There is something great taking place. I'm going to go ahead and read some text messages that we just got from some of our people on some text threads here just a little while ago. Sister Alina wrote in, "This is so good. I just spoke to Art and Lisa last night about the love of God. The love of God is what saved me and kept me. Nothing can compare to His love." Yes, we just started talking about the love of God at the beginning of this call. That is the truth. And also we got another message, Sister Cindy, "It makes me think how God showed me how He loves us and how He loves humanity. Praise God." Yes, Sister Grace said, "The blood of Jesus soothes my doubts and calms all fears." Amen, amen, and amen. All right, so once again, and okay, Sister Lisa Terrazas from San Diego. Who is that? "I'm in San Diego, but just to hear you talking about the power of God coming through us in evangelism, this is what Jesus said to do." All right, I hope I read her message the right way. And, of course, I need to read her message because that's Mom. Otherwise, she will, take care of Brother Vic. All right, so we're getting some more messages here. But, again, everyone, we hope that you have, enjoyed what we talked about. But more than enjoyed it, I hope you're catching this fire. I hope you're getting a hold of this spirit of evangelism, the spirit of revival. Let's make sure we tap into it and we plug in, just as Brother Miguel and Jessica and others have done so. The Lord is going to continue to provide miracles and continue to have His will, but let's make sure that we are a part of it. Let's make sure that we have the love of God that's flowing through us, that we have the anointing of God that's flowing through us. For people like a Gustavo who came to church last night, afterward he told me, "Brother Victor, you know, we had several of the men that went and talked to him, and they showed him love, they showed him care, they showed him concern." And this is someone who's genuine, everybody, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but he's genuine, he's sincere. He really has a need, but we all had a need when the Lord first brought us, everybody. We all had a need, and He has a need, and He's realizing that there is something here. He shared with me that he went to another church, and that's all good, but when he came here at the altar, he felt something. "Brother Victor, I felt something. I felt something," and that's what we need, everybody. When someone comes into the house of God, we need to make sure they feel the love of God, the power of God, the anointing of God from the Lord, but also from us, to make sure that they feel the love of God through us. Praise God. And before he left last night, we were in the fellowship hall as he was walking out, and we were saying goodbye to Pastor Clark and Sister Clark and the Rouse and the others that were there. Pastor Clark reached out. Listen to this. Pastor Clark reached out to him with his right hand and he said, "You know what, Gustavo, why don't we pray for you before you leave?" And that was our pastor talking, extending his right hand and the love of God as he did that. He grabbed a hold of Gustavo's hand and just held it firmly, and he began to pray, and we prayed for him. And again, Gustavo felt that anointing, but he also felt the love of God. Everybody, let's get a hold of this. Let's own it. Let's make sure that we are emanating and exuding that love of God and that anointing of God, because that's what is going to be required to touch the souls and to save the souls and to bring the souls in that the Lord has, because the Lord has much people in this city. Praise God, everybody. God bless all of you. With that said, we're going to go ahead and dismiss, and we want to remind everybody about our Wednesday night service. Be prayerful. Be praying about everything that we've been talking about, and we will plan to see everybody on Wednesday night. God bless all of you in the name of Jesus. Amen.